With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's the Friday of Super Wild Card Weekend. Six big playoff games. Here is Joey. Are you excited?
We're just jumping right into it, huh?
Yes.
There's no Jay Joseph. There's no, Football Friday. There's none of that, you know, other stuff.
No. This is the new Rop.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah, he's going right into it.
People want your hot takes.
He's just going straight, you go on sabbatical, and it's all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know what? Screw it. We're just going straight to the meat.
They don't want small talk. Maybe in July we can small talk for 4 hours, but not today, baby.
Go. Am I excited?
Yes.
Yes-ish.
What?
Well, okay, here's why. What are the storylines that really get me? Potential comeback of Derrick Henry, not playing this weekend. MVP candidate Aaron Rodgers and his beef with Green Bay that turned out to be fantastic. Are they going to stick together or are they going to break up? Not playing this weekend. Right? And that's not to say that there aren't other things out there, but I'm not a big Steelers fan. And, you know, had the Raiders just taken a knee, Justin Herbert would be in the playoffs. So I'm kind of bitter about that. I don't want to say I'm rooting against the Rams, but something about just like bringing in all these super team, super players and trying to win it now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I root against them, but I don't know. Give me a really compelling storyline that I would care about as someone from the Pacific Northwest.
It's a valid point. I mean, we'll watch the games because it's football and, you threw
right.
a couple extra in there because now you got to deal with Pittsburgh and Philly, which who cares? But the point right. is, like, the games themselves will be the drama. You know, if Philadelphia comes down to the wire with Tampa Bay, that will become a story. But I'm with you in the sense that if you're just looking at it from a purely what's going to pique my interest, I would say the Dallas 49er game for me, because that's such a great rivalry from the past. I think that's the one, and I think that could be a game where you get some back and forth, but I'm with you that there may be not a ton of storylines that jump out at you.
Well, I would say that if I'm looking at the games themselves, I would go with the Cardinals and Rams.
Yeah.
Right? That could be a fun one, potentially, but, which Rams are we going to get? Which Matthew Stafford are we going to get? That could potentially be a fun game to watch. But who cares about Philly? Like, they kind of backed their way into the playoffs. And, I guess if you're a Steelers fan, then you want to see the end of Big Ben. That doesn't do much for me. I'm rooting for Brady just because he's old. So I want to see Brady do well, but with all the injuries to that team, is Fournette going to play? Godwin's out, and it doesn't have the same pizzazz that it potentially could in this first week. Now next weekend, I'm excited about next weekend. I'm also kind of coming down off the high of college football. And we've had this discussion before. Like, I love college football. I like the NFL, but I love college football. And I'm honestly a little bit, I'm a little bit sad that college football's over. It was a great championship game.
Yeah, it was. I'm the other way around. I just love the NFL so much that I think that even without major storylines, Monday's going to be awesome. There's going to be drama. Well, the drama of the playoffs. Well, that's
why I said, like, the
drama. What's so great about that league?
The drama will be what happens in the games. You know, if you get
right,
if Roethlisberger finds a way, which they won't, but if he finds a way and you knock off, you know, what a story, right? This Hall of Famer, you know, and he finds a way to knock off, you know, Patrick Mahomes, or if you get Stafford or Kyler Murray that goes on a 2-minute drive. I mean,
some good matchups.
Drama finds itself.
What do you think in terms of quarterbacks this weekend? So you've got, you know, Mac Jones. A lot of people, you know, are kind of like, they don't love Mac Jones. If you've got Josh Allen, you've got Stafford, certainly Dak Prescott or maybe Garoppolo. Which quarterback do you think has the most to prove?
Well, probably Tom Brady. Is that a... No, I'm kidding.
Tom Brady. He can prove that he can do it again at 45 instead of 44 at our age.
You know, I might say Matthew Stafford, because that was the big... He was the piece, right? He was the missing piece. He is the guy that put up massive stats in Detroit but could never go to the playoffs or win a playoff game, and, you know, never had the surrounding cast. And the Rams couldn't quite get over the hump with Jared Goff, and so they bring in Stafford. And it's been good. It hasn't been lights out great. There have been times when it's looked pretty phenomenal, but there's also been times when it looks, a little bit suspect. Like, is this really going to play out for him? I think that he has a lot to prove in terms of, I don't want to say solidifying a legacy, right? But truly being part of that group of generational quarterbacks, right? If he can make this stop with the Rams successfully, and I'll even say, you know, get to the conference championship, and that would raise the perception of Stafford. But if he can get himself a Super Bowl out of the Rams, that would be huge. Otherwise, I think he kind of exists in that group of players that was really, really good for their time, but overshadowed by, you know, a handful of other guys.
Yeah, they're essentially the same team. And when you look at it, you know, they went 11-5, won the division, 13-3, won the division, 9-7, finished third, 10-6, second, and now 12-5, and eked out the division because Arizona stubbed their toe against, you know, Seattle. So they're kind of the same team for all that they gave up and, you know, making this big upgrade. And I think this is kind of the ugly secret of the NFL. There's not as many true one player difference makers that we want there to be. There may be a difference between Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, or, you know, Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott, and, or, you know, a linebacker to this linebacker. But the reality is there's very few guys that truly individually move the needle as much as we want to think they do.
Well, it's why Belichick never kept his superstars around, right?
Yeah, always left them, you know, a year early.
Exactly. He moved on, and what did he do? He replaced them with good quality guys that could work together within the system that he created.
And
right?
Cheaper.
Pardon?
And they were cheaper.
Yeah, exactly, right? So you didn't have to mortgage the farm just to get these superstar guys. Instead, what you did is you put 11 guys together that played well as a group. And that's the difference between the NBA, where a LeBron James can truly take over a game every single night, or a Steph Curry, or, you know, Dame Lillard can take over a game every night, versus the NFL, where you can have those type of games as an individual player, but more often than not, it's a unit that is dominant. It's the Baltimore Ravens unit. Yeah. It's the offense. It's the Cowboys offense with Aikman and Irvin and Novacek and Emmitt Smith. Right. I mean, it's that collection of guys rather than that singular. The other one that I'm really actually kind of curious about, and, you know, especially with all the talk about all these young, the rookie quarterbacks coming in this year, is Garoppolo, right? Is he playing himself into, you know, or I should say, what happens at the end of this year? You know, where they got a guy sitting there, Right? They got a first-round pick sitting there waiting that they traded up to take. And does this become another situation of, you know, Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees? Now, I'm not saying that Garoppolo is, you know, going to go become an instant Hall of Famer, but it's not like Drew Brees was lighting the world on fire before they drafted Phillip Rivers. Then all of a sudden he gets to play and has a good year. You know, Garoppolo hasn't been a superstar, but they're sitting there in the playoffs and he's got a chance to make an impression. And that's a really intriguing one for me as well.
Yeah, we've seen it before too. I mean, Eli did it in the playoffs twice where he just got hot. Joe Flacco did it when everybody, he was in a contract year and everybody was writing him off and he just played really well. Garoppolo plays well these couple games, changes the narrative 100% on him.
Yeah, does he, you think he sticks? Or, you know, you think they stick with him next year if he plays well? What does it take?
Yes.
What does it take for him to be the starter next year?
I think it comes down to is Trey Lance ready? From what we've seen of Trey Lance, and it's in a very small sample size. He's not ready to play. So if you've got a 49er team that's in win mode now, you know, and this is the tricky part is we don't know because we don't see Trey Lance from day to day, but. Boy, if he isn't ready to go, that's a real risky proposition turning the keys over to a team ready to win right now. So this may come down to not even just Jimmy G and what he does. It may come down to what does Trey Lance do? You know, he has played a ridiculously small number of games. You know, going back from high school to college, if you look at the number of games he played, because he wasn't a star in high school, he only played really the 1 year at North Dakota, and then he had the COVID year. And now in the NFL, he played like two meaningful games. I mean, it is as risky a turning it, and he may be great, but that is as risky a move to turn your franchise over to an unproven guy as maybe we've ever seen.
I don't disagree. I'm curious.
If I'm Cleveland, though, if I'm a team like that, I might make a push and see what I could get Jimmy G for. There's a couple teams in the NFL that are ready to win if they have a quarterback, Denver.
Well, somebody's going to want Garoppolo. It's just that if he plays well, let's say they go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they keep him. I mean, unless he screws up the Super Bowl so bad that it's like, oh, my God. But you're right. He's got a real opportunity. There's no question. It's just he can't be the bad Jimmy G that we see from time to time that costs him games. But let's put a pin in it. When we come back, we will wrap up the college football season, and I'd like to ask Joey if he were hiring some of these head coaches, if he were an NFL GM, what is essential? What is he looking for? This is Football Fridays and Story Time with our friend Joey Harrington on The Fan. All right, back with Joey Harrington here. We've got, I want to say 7, maybe 8 NFL coaching vacancies. And because the Raiders, they think, may go to the interim. So I don't know the number, but every year this time, there's always coach vacancies. What is most essential to GM Joey Harrington when hiring a head coach?
Oh, boy. I think it depends on what kind of roster you have, right? What are you trying to do? Do you have a veteran group that's looking for someone to right the ship? Do you have a bunch of young screw offs that, you know, that need someone to put their foot down? Either way, though, I think the thing for me is there's something, you know, the term player's coach gets tossed around a lot. So I know he's a player's coach. Well, what does that mean? Oh, it means he's really nice and he's really easy, right? He doesn't make us run extra laps after practice. That's kind of what the narrative has been. But whether you're a player's coach or a hard ass, what you need to be is consistent, right? You need to have a consistent message. You need to have a consistent way that you interact with the players, the front office, the training staff, the equipment guys. You know, you need to be the same person to everybody, because you will very quickly be exposed in the NFL if you're trying to be somebody different in different situations, right? If you, you know, if you're trying to throw the fake temper tantrum, I'll never forget. We were sitting there on the it was my first year in the league, and Marty Mornenweg was a great coordinator, but didn't have the temperament to be a head coach because he was trying to be everybody's buddy, and then one day he tried to be a hard ass and he started yelling at people on the practice field, and we're like, what's going on? Like, we didn't mess up. Oh yeah, you did. You need to be better. And this, you know, he starts getting more revved up and more revved up. And then all of a sudden he just says, screw it. And he blows the whistle and he walks off the field. And we all stopped. We're like, where the hell is he going? He goes into the parking lot and he had a motorcycle parked there and that just happened to have the keys in it. And so he revved up the motorcycle and he tore out and he tore out of the parking lot and he just left.
What?
We're like, what? Like, what the hell are you trying to prove? Like, you're trying to, like, it's those type of guys that that very quickly get exposed for kind of for being a fraud, right? But it's the Belichicks that, you know, it's not sexy, but here's the way we do it, right? Do this, don't do that, shut up, get in line, do your job, and we'll win some games. You know, it's the reason guys like Belichick, Saban have been so incredibly successful. But I mean, that being said, it also takes some talented guys to win too.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You can give me the most talented guy in the world, but you put him in a crappy organization with a bad roster. You know, you hamstring him with a bad quarterback. Like, whoever takes over the Giants, you're getting Daniel Jones. You're getting one of the worst salary cap teams in the NFL. In fact, I think they're like $13 million over the cap. You have a very expensive defense that isn't very good. I mean, there's only so much you can do. You know, it's a lot of it is one of those that's, you know, you got to make sure that you get the right guy in the right situation. I think there's so many factors that go into being successful, and a lot of times we just want to say the guy's good or bad, and the truth is there's way more to it than that.
Yeah, it's the Texans. I mean, who you're walking into a situation where, yeah, what's happening with Deshaun Watson? You know, who is your quarterback? What is happening with the leadership in this organization? You know, you're giving this guy, you know, a brand new coach 1 year, and you know the bottom falls out. You know, literally, like the foundation of that entire team falls out from underneath him. Yet he's the one who takes the fall. Like, sorry, 1 year you're out. Like, that's not an organization that I want to be walking into. So yeah, there's a lot that has to do with situation. But I think for me, whether you're in that kind of situation where the bottom falls out, or you know you're in your Bruce Arians in Tampa where you've got a quarterback who can truly take over the, you know, the locker room and essentially be the coach on the field, and all you got to do is just keep guys in line. You need to be the same type of person in either situation.
Hmm. This is Jay Joseph Harrington here, and I know you're a big college football fan, and I know you're sad to see the season end, but it was kind of cool to see another SEC team win, you know?
The plucky underdog.
Yeah. David and Goliath.
Good for them.
David just slaying the dragon yeah, right there. And it was cool to see Lanning win a title.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, we're all tired of seeing the SEC win, but when I saw him on the field after the game, I mean, just so genuinely excited, right? Like, you could see the joy that he has for that, for the game and for that team and for his players. And I'm excited to have that come to Eugene. Like, that was a cool moment to see, to know that experience is now being brought to Eugene. And that's something that he can leverage against and he can share with his players. I think that kind of, I don't want to say saved it for me, but I was definitely rooting for Georgia because of that. It wasn't the normal SEC versus Ohio State championship game where it's like, who cares?
Yeah, I think we all wanted to see Bama go down, and just the way Georgia did it. Now, here's a layman fan question, but Lanning, his defenses are so awesome to watch. Like, that Georgia defense, my jaw's on the floor watching how good they are. And of course he's got great athletes, but they're so disciplined. They tackle well, they wrap up. They're really good. My question is like, how much can he, as now a head coach, can he control what happens on the defense? Or is that unrealistic to think that an Oregon defense can play like that because he is now the head coach and he has so much more on his plate?
I'll say it depends, right? Because you're right. It takes dudes to make those type of individual plays. He's has some superstars, some fantastic athletes on that side. But what he did, at least what really stuck out to me, is the guys on the defensive side of the ball for Georgia, they did their job, right? And here's what I mean by this. There were times when you'd get Alabama got pressured up the middle, right? Bryce Young gets flushed out. And you think, okay, now that, you know, he breaks contain and he can make a play outside. But he wasn't allowed to break contain, right? Even on the touchdown pass that Young threw to the tight end, you know, he gets flushed out. He has to go drift all the way backwards and then chuck something kind of across his body to a tight end who happened to leak across the goal line, right? Because every time he got flushed out, there was somebody in contain. Every time someone came off the edge, there was somebody holding the gap inside, right? So there are certain things you can instill as a head coach. There are certain things that you can instill. And what I saw from Georgia's defense was this foundation of simply doing your job, doing what your assignment, right? Don't try and be a superstar. Now, it helps that, you know, Georgia has superstars. But don't try and go outside of the scheme which we're teaching you, of the foundation of being part of this group. Simply do the things that we're asking you to do, and the plays will happen. And that's what I saw happen quite a few times in that game, is pressure gets through, and then somebody else is waiting because they're in the correct position, right? And that's the key. And that's something I think that you can instill as a head coach, because it's not necessarily something that you have to be there every single day in the meetings for, right? You're not coaching scheme. You're coaching a foundational idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going to be a difference for him as a head coach, is not being there potentially to do every little detail on the defensive side of the ball, but rather instilling an overarching culture which supports what the defensive coordinator and the scheme that's being put in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's encouraging.
And I like too, the adjustments. You know, sometimes you see, you know, really elite coaches with elite players that just say, hey, this is what we do. Well, in that first matchup, they didn't get to Bryce Young. And,
nope.
You know, Georgia all year hasn't had to blitz a ton because they don't have to. And against Alabama, they didn't get home. So what did they do in the championship game? Dude, they heated his ass up left and right. And they brought pressure from everywhere. And it had Alabama completely bamboozled. And, as you mentioned, great discipline. Because when you blitz, you got to be buttoned down on the back end. But I loved that they didn't just sit back and say, hey, we've got the athletes. We're going to get it done. No. They said, we got rolled the first time, so we're not going to get kicked in the teeth again. We're going to make adjustments. And I that's the other part that I get excited about, is just seeing a coach that's flexible like that, that learns from mistakes and doesn't get beat twice the same way.
Yeah, you made a great point. Is not only do you have to keep contained and do your job up front, like I was talking about, but when you do bring pressure, you have to anticipate where they're going to get the ball out, right? And have that guy sitting there waiting to make that play. And that's exactly what they did. I'm so excited for this coaching staff. Like this is different. This is a different. Oregon has been so offensive minded for so long, right? It's been, whether it was Bilotti and Danny O'Neill and Graziani, or, you know, then Tedford and then Chip. And I mean, it has been offensive minded for so long. I'm excited to see what a defensive head coach can bring to this program, right? This could be a potential shift in, what's the word I'm looking for, guys? Like, this is, I don't know. We never talk about defense. The only time we talk about defense at Oregon is when, you know, they gave up 27 points instead of 35, right?
Maybe
when
a
they,
shift
when they
helped
in somebody to
identity, maybe? A shift in identity?
Maybe. I wouldn't go so far as to say identity. I don't know. I'm just excited because it's different.
Well,
I'm curious.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see too, because you look at your main rivals, right? In the Pac-12, if we're going to say that, you know, Utah is this physical football team that punches you in the mouth. Well, by all accounts, Dan Lanning's going to try to build on that Cristobal thing. But the other two being DeBoer, who runs a really, really fun offense, from Indiana to Fresno, Washington's going to sling the ball around. Lincoln Riley at USC, maybe the best offensive mind, right? Those are going to be kind of the, you know, in theory, the big key rivals there. And it might be fun to see someone with this defensive approach that's going to play this fast, aggressive, let's go out and get these defensive studs and see how it lines up against some pretty exciting offenses that have always been in the Pac-12, but now especially I think with a couple new coaches could be pretty high paced.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm not quite sure how to vocalize it because it's so different. Like, the idea of being a defensive focused football team is kind of an exciting thing. And I think it's something that could be hugely beneficial for this Oregon program.
J. Joseph Harrington, every Friday here on The Fan. Good stuff. Very football-y, but that's what the people
football-y.
Wanted. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is football season.
That's right. Super wild card weekend. Enjoy it.
I will. I'll enjoy it once the games start.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See ya.
Joey Harrington brought to you by BMW Portland, where relationships matter. Visit BMW Portland on Southwest Jefferson downtown or BMWPortland.com. Also brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Are smarter kids born or made? Next in the club on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.